Welcome to the Message Podcast from Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. Today's message is brought to you by Aaron Fortin. We hope that this message is encouraging to you and increases your faith in Christ. Enjoy.
So, the name of this message is Armed and Dangerous. I thought that was cool, little title that the Lord gave me. So I guess I want to start off with, have you guys ever seen the movie Beethoven before, where it's the big St. Bernard dog, very slobbery, makes a mess and all these things? Well, in part of that story, there's a young nerdish, geekish boy named Teddy, and he gets bullied by these kids. They chase him off the bus, they take his glasses, but all of a sudden, Teddy's like, I'm not going to take this anymore, and he puts his fists up, but he doesn't realize that behind him is the big dog, his dog, that has his back, and he has no idea that that dog's there, and they're like, oh, here's your glasses, see you later, bye, you know, and they take off. And isn't that like God in us? And we stand there, and how many times has the Lord fought for us and we didn't even know it? But the first step was putting up our fists and taking a stand, because as we take our stand, the Lord is there to defend us. And I watched that movie again recently. I didn't know why, but there you go. So this is about the Word of God, which seems right, seeing as I'm preaching. In Bible college, now I grew up in the church from the time, I was baptized in the Catholic Church, but my parents officially got a relationship with the Lord when I was one, and they were a mess, but God rescued them, amen. And in the years of growing up, I don't remember any of what was going on with my dad, with the PTSD and drugs and suicidal thoughts and all kinds of stuff like that. But I know the testimony of what happened. So growing up, though, because God had such a big impact in rescuing my family, my parents were really good examples to me about being in the Word of God daily, praying and seeking God's face. And but as I grew up, my mom would often check to see, you know, oh, what are you reading in the Word? And so, like, I felt like you had to make sure that you were doing it, right? Because mom was checking up on me. And at the time, I didn't really realize the importance of it. I mean, I used it in my life, but I didn't really see as much of the importance. So to me, it became an obligation. And it's good to read the Word, right? That's all good, but the power behind it is the big difference. So, but in Bible college, you would think Bible college just would be good, all that. But I was getting to a point of frustration, because I'm like, you know, I'm doing it because I have to. And I actually had a resident assistant say to me, well, just stop reading. And I thought, really? Stop reading the Bible. Okay, fine. I'm going to stop reading the Bible. And because I was doing it for the wrong reasons, you know, it was just a religious activity at that point, you know, and not that God couldn't speak to me through it. But so finally, one day I'm like, okay, God, I'm just going to open the Bible, and whatever I fall to, that's what it's going to be. And don't you know, God has a funny sense of humor. And it was exactly what I needed at that time. So it was Psalm 27, but there were some specific verses that stuck out to me. So verses 7, 8, and 9 says, hear my voice when I call, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. And then in verse 13 and 14, it says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And it was exactly what I needed. I randomly opened up, by coincidence, right? No. To that spot. And God knew exactly where my heart was. And I needed that. I needed to understand the power of the word of God in my life and that it wasn't just an obligation to be fulfilled or to be accomplished. It became, I don't have to read it, I get to read it. And that was a powerful change for me, because then you start to see the word of God in a new light. What does God want to speak to me today? Not, number one, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Honor your mother and father. No, it became a new thing. It became powerful. And you can have a powerful weapon like a machine gun, but if you don't have ammunition, then it doesn't do you a lot of good. So in the same way, we can own a dozen Bibles, but if we don't take time with it, with the Holy Spirit, then it's kind of useless to us. If we take our Bible and it sits there, we look at it, but we don't ever open it and read it, it's not going to be the power that we need. And growing up in America, you can have a dozen Bibles. There's other countries where people get pages of the Bible, and it's so precious to them that they will read it, absorb it, memorize it, and share those pages with somebody else and trade pages. And we're fortunate that we can go and buy as many of these as we want, and nobody tells us that we can't have it. If a few pages is that precious and that powerful to others in other countries, what can this whole thing be for us? Yes, and then we have many translations on our phones. So if you're on your phone, I'll not judge you. Actually, when Pastor Janet gets out her Amplified Classic, I'm like, or if James is up here, New King James Version. Or Bishop Callahan, New King James Version. So when I was thinking about why we spend time in the Word, and I was talking to the Lord about it, like, why do we do this? And what he dropped into my spirit is, because you are defenseless without it. And we have two types of words to consider here today. So we have rhema and we have the logos, am I saying that right? Word. So in Hebrews 4, I'm going to go Hebrews 4, verses 12 to 13. I'm still hearing pages rustling, so I'll wait a minute. It's always fun when the preacher says a verse and then they start reading immediately and you're like, trying to find their spot. All right. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Now, in this particular passage, it's talking about the logos word, which is like the spoken word of God in Scripture. And then if you go to Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, of course, we've got to go where the armor of God is spoken about. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against how many strategies of the devil? Not just some. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil, and put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So we have two different types of word going on here. So in the Hebrews passage, like I said, that's the logos, the spoken word of God in Scripture. And we have the rhema word, which is a word personally spoken by the Lord to your spirit. I have this lovely book that Pastor Janet suggested. It's called Armed for Victory. I highly recommend it. It's a good book. Thank you for the recommendation. In this, it talks about the rhema word. It says, the power of the word of God is activated when it is revealed to you and released when you speak it. When you speak it, it becomes a rhema word, a revealed word that is a right now word for your situation. And then later on, it says a rhema word is a weaponized word for the kingdom. So when it's talking about the double-edged sword, it's a double-edged means double-mouthed as a river. So to me, it's going to feed multiple places. And also with the rhema and the logos, I just felt like that's a good picture of the double-edged sword like we have on our wall over there with the two edges of it. We need both. It's all good to have a word, you know, I'm sure most of you pray, and it's not like God's never going to speak to you if you don't pick up the Bible, but we need both. We need his word here and his promises here, as well as his word to our spirit, and God often will use this to bring a fresh word to your spirit. How many times have we opened the word of God, and just like that day when I was in Bible college, you would think that I'd be getting it all the time, but I finally opened it up again, and God was faithful to say, I'm listening, I'm right here. Even though at Bible college, sometimes I actually didn't always feel super close to the Lord, but God would use his word to speak to me. So it's a very valuable thing in our lives. So the double-edged sword, back to the Hebrews 4, it divides the flesh from the spirit. It's multifaceted, so it's not just for one purpose. It accomplishes much. In my Zondervan commentary, gotta love that, it explains that the word of God is a sword that is living and active, meaning that it is a dynamic power that has the ability to affect change both in the created order and in individual lives. A rhema word from the Lord can come when we're praying, reading the Bible, worshiping God, or just spending time in God's presence. He can speak to us anywhere because God is everywhere. But those are some of the ways that the rhema word of the Lord can come. But the word of God needs to be paired with other armor. So a while ago, many years ago, because Sandy LeBlanc was still here, I preached a message on how the armor of God has to do with our identity in Christ. And if we don't know who we are in Christ, then we don't wield the same amount of power with that armor. But we're talking about the word of God, the sword of the spirit, but we need the other pieces too. So, let's see. We cannot truly wield that sword if we're not in relationship with the one who gave it to us. That's very important. We can know the personal word of God to us as well as scriptures, but the power behind those words is God himself. So the Pharisees and the religious leaders, the Sadducees, knew all kinds of scripture because they grew up learning the scriptures their whole life, memorizing whole books of the Bible. Of course, it was Old Testament back then. But they didn't understand the power of the Lord behind that because they didn't really belong to God. It was a religion for them. So, helmet of salvation, we are saved by grace through faith in what Jesus Christ did for us, not what we accomplished on our own. These are just short things. There's whole studies on the armor of God, so this is just a brief synopsis. Breastplate of righteousness, we are righteous because of Christ. Nothing we can do can accomplish righteousness on our own. It's a gift from God to us. The shield of faith, our faith in God helps to deflect the arrows of the enemy against us. How many know that we have a very real enemy who is fighting against us all the time? And I'm not saying let's go look for little devils behind every rock, but we do have a real enemy that does not want us to be of any effect. If he can keep us out of the word, if he can keep us out of prayer, if he can keep us out of worshiping the Lord, he'll do it because he knows where the power lies in the presence of God. Belt of truth, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we are surrounded by him, and his truth gives us a solid foundation to stand on, to stand firm on. So part of what I had written, well, it's kind of like a short book, not really, but sort of. But I just thought it was interesting that the belt of truth, that's where you sheath the sword of the Spirit until you have to take it out, right? And so the word of God is truth. It's attached to it. Let's see. Gospel of peace, the good news of our redemption through Christ gives us a peace that passes all understanding and allows us to stand in the storms of life. So we can have peace through Jesus Christ. So all those pieces have to do with knowing who God is and knowing who we are in Christ. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Yes, that's where I'm going to stop. And then in 2 Corinthians 10, it's a pretty familiar verse to most of us probably. All about taking your thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. So I wanted to say, too, that this message today is not to beat you over the head if you're not reading the Bible. This is supposed to be meant as a, here's what God revealed to me. I want you to be free, too. So I hope that I don't want anyone to be in that place of, well, I'm just doing it out of obligation. I mean, sometimes you have to fight against your feelings because your feelings will lie and try to keep you out of it. And sometimes you do have to be like, oh, I'm going to go see what the Lord has for me today. But most importantly, this is a powerful weapon against the enemy, and it's all about being armed and dangerous against the enemy of our souls. So 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. We have a very real enemy that is always looking for an opportunity to take us out. And that can be as simple as distracting us from what God wants us to do in one moment, or as serious as getting us to completely deny our faith. He's on a mission. And we need to be armed so that we can fight against that. The enemy does not want you to know the word. It is easier to get pulled in the wrong direction by our own reasoning and the reasoning of the world when we don't have our feet planted on the solid foundation of the word of God. So we can be saved, but this is key to knowing the truth of what God has to say to us. Oh, I was going to mention too that how many times our worship team is all heck breaking loose and we're like, it's going to be a good service today. Because we've learned over the years that if there's this much opposition going on, whether it's like, man, I can't sing this song, or the electronics are going crazy, or she's got new technology to learn back there, or whatever, and we're like, whatever fight, or you know, you get up on the wrong side of the bed, or you stub your toe, and then you whack your knee, and then you whack your head, and you're like, what is going on here? Usually the enemy is trying to get you in a bad place, right? So it's over the years learning just to be aware of that and say, nice try. Nope, not going to go there again. Or you get an unexpected bill in the mail and you say, what the heck is going on here? And then just taking that to the Lord and saying, God, you knew this was going to come. See, you can stand on that faith and on those promises because of the word of God. So that's just a couple of examples of how God can use the word in your life to set you free from the enemy's snares. Let's see. I have some time. Okay. I was going to go. So Luke chapter 4, 1 through 13, it talks about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. The devil keeps throwing things at him. And the devil actually uses scriptures to try to trip Jesus up, which that was not a good idea because Jesus knows the word and how it's supposed to be applied. But how did Jesus defeat the devil during that temptation? By the word of God. And then, I mean, there's multiple examples in the Gospels with Jesus, but there's another one in Luke 4. I'm just going to give you passages, and you can look them up for yourself. But Luke 4, verse 31 to 37, he's casting out demons. How did Jesus cast out the demons? By his spoken word, in agreement with the Father. So he's always lined up. So this is that, you know, rhema word and logos word. We need both, okay? So that rhema word is coming into agreement with what God has spoken to you. Okay, so he would say, get out of here. And a lot of times he'd tell the demon to shut up, essentially. Quiet, I don't need to listen to you, okay? Stop. We need to do that more in our lives, right? Quiet, I don't need to listen to you. This is what God says. And so he always spoke what the Father spoke, and he always did what the Father was doing. He was in that communication with God. And guess what? We're supposed to do greater works than even he did. So that means that's open to you too. You can also hear the word of the Lord. You can also hear the word of the Lord. You can also hear the word of the Lord and come into agreement with that, okay? The power of God is in you. And then in Luke 5, 12 to 26, there's a couple, I think two different instances where Jesus heals. And how did Jesus heal the sick? By the spoken word and by his touch. Sometimes we got to reach out and touch somebody's hand. The one exception that I did see, of course, is when the woman reached out to touch the hem of his garment. But even with that, he said, your faith has made you well. Okay, so he affirmed the word of what had happened to her. The rhema word and the logos word are both important. We need both as our double-edged sword. If we are not armed by the Spirit, we will fight our battles in the flesh. Have you ever fought your battles in the flesh instead of by the Spirit? Just me? Oh, good. Lori's with me. And others. Good, good. I'm glad I'm not alone. So when we fight in the flesh, we're not truly victorious in the ways that matter, even if you win the argument, because it's not eternally winning the fight. We might feel the temporary satisfaction of winning, but it's not a feeling that will last. How many of you have won a fight, argument, whatever, and been like, yeah, I got the last dig in, shut them up, and they went crawling back to their hole, and then later on you go, sorry. There's been plenty of times that I have had to go back and apologize, even to my kids, when maybe we're not agreeing on something, and say, you know what, I did not do what I was supposed to do, and I'm sorry, please forgive me, I'm going to try to do better next time. God's grace is sufficient. When we know the word of God and put our faith in it, it will change how we deal with others, ourselves, and our circumstances, so we don't always treat ourselves well either. We come into agreement with the lies that the enemy is trying to whisper into our ears at times, in the things that we do and say and whatever. So when we're in alignment, though, with the word of God, it'll change our perspective. It's like I'm blind without my glasses. Like, if I take these off, Pastor Janet's face is even fuzzy, this whole front row. Ah, that's so much better. And that's what the word of God does for us. It gives us the perspective of the Lord in a situation. It brings clarity in a situation so that we can see things as God sees them. We can stand firm on his truth and love as we encounter those things instead of battling it in the flesh. Does that mean that we won't speak the truth in love, though? Does that mean that we avoid the truth? You know, sometimes God will call you to say some things by his Spirit that are true, and that might be convicting to somebody else, but it's the stance that you're taking, how you're bringing that about, that is the difference. When you're standing in the word of God, when you're standing in, Lord, to help guide my emotions and my words, it makes a difference in how things are brought across. And, you know, people might not like you. I've been known to say some true words to people, and they didn't necessarily like it or agree with it. But I had to be obedient to what the Lord was showing me, too. What somebody else does with the truth that God has you release to somebody is between them and God. So Jesus loved perfectly. He did things perfectly. He did it as a father showed him. And did people always like him? They crucified him. So the answer is no. You know, if Jesus could do everything just right and people got upset with him, sometimes you might have to stand in what God's showing you to speak and to do, and people might not be happy with you. But again, that's between them and God. You just walk in obedience to him and his word. Now, but if I don't know this, how can I stand on it, right? So this is important. Now, I would like to hear from you. Yes, you get to be part of the sermon today. So what has the word of God been for you? So what does it do for you? What has it done for you? So if you have something to share, almost like a little testimony of what God has done with the word in your life, I'll give you a few minutes. Should I do Jeopardy theme music, please?
Word of God, to me, when I open up my Bible, I look at it through a different lens most of the time. And that's understanding all of the evidence that leads to Christ, because everything in this Bible leads to Christ, from the first word to the last one. And so I love opening my Bible to find something else, some other nice little piece of evidence that leads to Christ. And to me, reading the Bible and seeing that evidence on top of everything that I normally also do when reading the Bible, because it speaks to me, but it increases my faith in who he is and who I am every time.
So some of you guys know that I do a scripture writing program with a group of women, lots of women, all over the country, but people that are connected with the Church of God here in the area. And over the last year, with a lot of things going on in my life, I'd sort of put that aside. And I got back into it. And God has, in short 7 days, God is continually showing me why we do what Aaron is talking about, because today's scripture was 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. And that is confirmation of what I needed today. And that's what happens when we read the word.
Let me count the ways. I'll try to just keep things simple, but when I had read the Bible through before I ever accepted Jesus into my heart. And the moment I accepted Jesus into my heart, I had a desire to go read the Bible. I hadn't been reading it. I had read it through when I was younger. And I got up from the floor after giving my heart to the Lord. First thing I wanted to do is read the Bible, and I was absolutely stunned because the words were alive. And they gave me life. It's the Logos becoming the Rhema. And because the Logos by the Spirit becomes the Rhema word of God, God used his word to save the marriage, our marriage. I can go on and on. There's so many ways that he's done that. When the Lord has just quoted a scripture and I don't even know what the scripture says, and I go to it and it's exactly what I need in that moment, and it gives me life and it is a weapon for me. Thank you.
Yes.
I had two thoughts. The first one is, the word washes off the garbage of the day or the latest whatever. And the second one is, the word gives hope no matter what's going on around me.
So just what Lori said just brought something to me, and I think sometimes that us people outside the world, I think little sayings that we say all the time come from the Bible because they were written along. Like, I get knocked down, but I get back up again. You know, same thing Lori just said, but it was in the Bible. But nobody realizes these little sayings that kind of drive us on. A lot of them came from the Bible, I think. And so whether it's us or unbelievers or anybody, a lot of the stuff that we say that's motivational came from the Bible. So it's, people are using the word more than they even realize. And like, I like simple stuff. Like, you can identify with that, but in the King James Version, you can't say, thee thou knocketh me downeth.
And you don't really understand it, but some guy was like, you know what, let's make this simple. I get knocked down, I get back up again.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, that's a good saying.
Let's make it into a song.
I think for the Bible, we know because we've been in the church for a while, you know, you hear, oh, God will meet all your needs. But what does that mean in the moment? Doesn't mean God necessarily pays all your bills. Maybe. Maybe, right? How many times have we had an unexpected bill and then something also unexpected comes your way and he provides for us, right? But how else does he provide for us? Do you have an emotional need that needs to be filled? You read the Bible, he will fill it. And so all of those, all of the names of Christ, all of the stories of Christ, they all relate to us. And so, yes, it's a story. Sometimes they're hard to relate to because it's the Bible and it's a different culture and we don't always understand what those mean. But if we still our hearts and we listen, he fills whatever that need is in the day, he will fill it. And obviously, sometimes it's with people and it's with the other things, but I have spent lots of time in certain books or certain stories or certain really, really diving into things. And God reveals himself to me in a way that was exactly what I needed at that time. Sometimes for a year or two or three at a time, right? Like I stay in one book and read it over and over and over and over again, and he shows me something, and that's exactly what I needed right then.
On up here.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I just wanted to explain like a situation that happened to me about a month ago. So I was struggling with like a past relationship that I had with someone. And we haven't been talking for, I'd say, about 6 months. I've known her for like 4 years. And she texted me out of nowhere and I didn't know what to do. And this was when I just found Christ and started giving my life towards him. And I was in the car and I believe I was on my way to a friend's house or something. And I was listening to music, and by all means, I don't listen to like gospel music. I listen to secular music. I guess it's a struggle. Anyways, I was, I got the message and I was like, I know if I like waited for this, I told God, I was like, I need something now. I don't know what to do about this. Like my emotions were high. I don't know if that's, it's just a feeling that I got. And I'd say about 2 minutes in the song, and I was really surprised because it's secular music and it said, and it was like almost like the instrumental part of the music kind of like drowned out and it was just the voice of the singer. And it said, what would Jesus do? And I was like sitting in the driver's seat and I was just in awe. I was like, I started laughing. I was like, nah, there's no way. I was like, there's no way that this, there's no way you did that, right? I was like, yeah. I always overthink these things, so I was like, is it a coincidence? I was like, can't be, man. I was like, so that same night, I have this app, and I like, you type in your situation of anything, and it'll bring up verses, and there were like three things that came up. It was compassion, forgiveness, and something about setting up boundaries, and that's what I did. I don't want to like throw a call out to you, Mom, but she was like, she's my mom, so I understand. She was like, don't bother with her, don't do anything about her. And I was like, well, I mean, I gotta see what Jesus would do, and I did. I did text her back, and I know I had to set myself boundaries and forgive her for, you know, because it did hurt me for a while. I haven't been talking to her. And so I feel a lot better about it. I know before, and if the person I was before I found Christ, I would have never done that. I probably would have been pretty toxic. And yeah, it was just something that happened. And I thought it was pretty cool.
Awesome. Thank you. That's pretty awesome. Anybody else want to share?
Just a couple other things that I'd add anyway. Encouragement, correction, even just sweet connection points with the Lord, or even realizing more of his sense of humor as you were talking about. And one scenario with that came to mind was there was a night that I just really was having a hard time getting to sleep, and I was really frustrated, and I was like, well, fine, I'm going to read the word. And but I was really irritated about it. But I'm thinking, you know, the enemy's keeping me awake and I'm going to just make you regret it. You know, I'm going to read the word. And so I read until something stands out to me. And then I'm able to go to bed. I didn't fully process the scripture that it was until, I don't know if it was the next day. It was soon after. But it was in Thessalonians, and it's, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. I laughed very hard when I realized what the scripture actually had said.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Anybody else?
I think the thing that's most amazing to me about the word is I've been reading it for a long time now. I got my first Bible when I was about 12. It was the Old King James, very difficult to read, but I loved the 23rd Psalm. But, you know, life goes on and not so important, but I always had that Bible, still have that Bible. But fast forward a number of years and life experiences, I came to the Lord. So I picked up that old Bible and started to read it. Still was a little tricky in the old King James. So, but anyway, the short story is that I've been reading the word for a long time, and it's amazing that you can read it over and over and over again, and there's something new and fresh every time, and every day even. So it's an amazing book, but it's way more than that.
Anybody else? Lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff. What was I gonna say? Went in and out. Just coming into agreement with the word and the power. I mean, did you hear the testimonies of like God speaking a specific word to people when they needed it, and the power that comes as we're like, wow, this is what God says about this. You come into agreement, you come into alignment with God as you submit to what he has spoken. If you don't want to be challenged in your walk with God, or to change, or to become a better reflection of who God is, then don't read the Bible. If you don't want your heart to be changed by the Lord, then you're probably going to actually avoid this, because it will change you. It'll change the way you think and what you do, how you act. So I'm not saying don't do it, because you really should. But the enemy certainly doesn't want you anywhere near the word or prayer or praise or worship, because he knows that when we get into the presence of God, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Changes everything. So I'm just going to spout off a bunch of things that the Bible is. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Just going to name some scriptures, and then we'll go into some things it does. Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You can just write all these down and then look them up later. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 is actually a favorite passage of scripture of mine. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This will help you be equipped for what you need to do, what God has called you to. Psalm 1:1-3, and just to honor you, this is in the Amplified Classic. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and purposes, nor stands, submissive and inactive, in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest, where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. Here's where the blessing comes. He shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. So, those are just a few verses. There are tons of verses about what the Word of God is and does. And these are just some things that I wrote down. The Word of God holds all the wisdom we need for our lives. It combats every lie of the enemy. It reminds us of who God is for us when the enemy tries to assail us with things like fear, hatred, chaos, illness, death, oppression, depression, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, and the list goes on and on, the things that the Word of God will combat. It cleanses. It heals. My mom had a verse when she had 4-stage cancer. The doctors told my dad, make funeral arrangements. I was 2 years old, and she had a word from the Lord. I believe it's in the Psalms. It talks about, I am the Lord that heals you and all your diseases. It heals. It brings hope, restores, and creates. The word of the Lord created everything we see around us. It also can create, there's been creative miracles where people that had limbs missing, the word spoken brought that limb to being. So the word of God still creates today. It is a shield and it is truth. It corrects, rebukes, and trains and teaches us. It is life and joy to the heart. It is judgment against the enemy. It feeds our spirit man. We do not live by bread alone, Matthew 4:4, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It keeps us from sin when we heed it. It gives us faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Romans 10:17. It encourages us and shows us God's immense love for us. And that's just a few things that the Word of God is and does for us. So how can we get into reading the Word? I wanted to share just a few things, and there's multiple ways that God will speak to us. But if we don't know what portion of the Bible to read, first of all, ask God, because he might just show you. We can get a devotional book or a Bible study book. There are all kinds of different resources that are available to us today, okay? We can use a topical Bible. So if there's a specific topic that God wants to speak to us about, there are topical Bibles, which you can probably Google things too. I've done that before, even when doing sermons. you can look up subjects. Many Bibles have an index in the back, so it'll give you verses for different situations. We can take it one book of the Bible at a time. So maybe you say, well, I'm going to start in the book of Matthew, and I'm going to read through the book of Matthew. Gospels are often good for new Christians because it talks about Jesus. Or we can find a schedule for reading the Bible over a course of a year. There's the YouVersion Bible app, which is what I use a lot of times for different versions of the Bible. But they have all kinds of different, like, Bible studies that you can do. They have a daily scripture. there's all kinds of different things, even in just that one app, that can help you. Like, we really don't have any excuse for not reading our Bible. I'm just saying. we can't say, well, I don't know where to start. Well, try one of those. There are apps, websites, even CDs that will read the Bible to you. Some of us might be more of an auditory learner. I'm very visual, so looking at it with my own eyes is really good. Also, I started, Dr. Strepka is at United Christian Academy, where I work, had shared a couple of years ago during an in-service about writing down like whole books of the Bible, just writing them out. So I started doing that, and guess what? That is really, really good for somebody that's visual, because things that you skim over in the Bible, like, I grew up in church, so like, I've read my Bible a lot, but you're like, I don't remember seeing that before. Like, as you start to write it out, or like, it starts to get you to even think about stuff, like, well, I wonder why he did that, or, you know, it's just, it'll get you to think a lot more about it. So if you're a visual learner, I encourage you, take out a notebook and start writing down passages in the Bible. And just let the Holy Spirit lead you, but we have to be willing to take the first step, of course. So the things that you have said the Word of God is for you, and the things I've stated that the Word of God is for us, are always that the Word combats and defeats the enemy. So that's why this is the whole armed and dangerous. You heard multiple ways that God used the Word in people's lives to defeat the enemy. And so if the Bible does all these things that I listed and you listed, why would we not want to be into this, okay? Because like I said, the enemy doesn't want you into it. He wants you weak and defenseless. So you want to spend that time in the Word. And do you want to be an effective soldier for Christ and the kingdom of God? Then take up your sword and fight. That's it.
Thank you for listening to our podcast here at Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. We hope that you have enjoyed this message, and we encourage you to hit that subscribe button to continue updates on future messages each week. And feel free to share these messages of encouragement and edification to others. Thank you.